what we're going to do, this is the last of the introduction as far as getting into the Ten Commandments, is we want you to understand the Ten Commandments are about a story. It's an invitation into a story. Okay, let's just review a little bit. Maybe you can do it word for word or not word for word, but how do we glorify God? Enjoying and loving Him, and there's a third part. Very good, Ryan. Yeah. Being good image bearers. Okay, that goes back to something that you learn in gospel. Yeah. Obeying. Yep, obeying. Yep, obeying. So how does obeying fit into glorifying God? Is it just like, oh, like God wants us to obey Him, and so that's how we glorify Him, because He likes to give us rules? How does obeying fit into the context of glorifying Him, do you think? He created. This is a system that has design and purpose and meaning. And the more you are able to engage that purpose and design and meaning, the more you will reflect Him, the Creator who did all of it. So what's law? Sonia, what's law? Haley, help her out. What's the law? What's law? Go ahead. Yeah, direct pronouncement of His will. Now, there's two parts to it. What? It's for our good. Remember, it shapes our conscience. It gives us a shape of commitment. It gives us a shape of community. Law is a good thing. Now, here's the problem. When you hear the word law, what do you think? Woo, 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 right? Yeah, no. Law, another word is instruction, guidance, precepts, all charge, all these wonderful things. Yeah. Law is a good thing. Law is a good, good thing. What we're going to find out is the law comes within the context of story. Okay? Within the context of story. All right. So we're going to move in. Okay? It's not there. I'll figure it out. All right, so your next question, where you should be on question four, how does the Ten Commandments, what's the Ten Commandments? Summary and an outline. God's law, yeah. Summary and an outline. Project, do you remember where they are? You remember where they are? Exodus, good. Exodus. 20, very good, and Deuteronomy. Awesome. Okay, so it comes at two times. It comes as soon as they come out of bondage, right before they go into promise. Okay, He gives it to them twice. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy. Exodus, Deuteronomy. How many of them are there? Good. Yeah, or you could split them of 8 and 2, or 9 and 1, or 7 and 3, or 4 and 6. Yeah, they are. Well, I'm going to show them to you. There is a little bit of differences, actually, in the Deuteronomy one to stress certain things, like the importance of parents and the message of slavery. But yeah, so they're presented 5 and 5. Okay, first 5 kind of focus, drill down on God. The next 5 kind of drill down on our relationship one with another. Okay, so how do the Ten Commandments begin? That's Exodus 22. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Okay? But this is the verse. That's the verse. Here's the answer that I want you to put with it, okay? The Ten Commandments begin with the story of our slavery and God's deliverance. Okay? They start with story. Yep. Question number 4. How the Ten Commandments begin? Right here. Yep. Just like always. No. Question number 4. How does the Ten Commandments begin? The Ten Commandments begin with the story of our slavery and God's deliverance. This can't be helpful with all these here. I bet. Let me just move this cookie tray over here. You guys can help yourself with the cookies anytime you want. But there's not a lot of real estate up there on that table, so I want to make sure you guys have enough space. Unless you want the cookie trays. Do you want the cookies back? Okay. Okay, story. Story of what? Slavery. Deliverance. Key verse. Jackson helped us drill down on it. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 2. I'm going to give you guys a chance to finish out. Bobby McGee, you got it? Aiden, you got it written down? Okay, Exodus 20, verse 2. Layla, we good? All right, let's read it together. Ready? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. My bad. Ready? Let's do it again. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I'm going to read you guys some of the story, okay? Okay, I'm going to read you guys some of the story. I'm going to start in Exodus 1. I'm going to hit something in Exodus chapter 2. Just listen to the story. Let the story wash over you and see what you can get kind of into your imagination. Okay, see if you can't enter into. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many, too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies, fight against us, and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities in Pithom and Ramses. The more that they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, made their lives bitter with hard service, in mortar, brick, and all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Someone tell me what you remember from what I just read. What do you remember? Slaves. Jazz, what do you remember? You remember slaves? Good. What else do you remember? Hard work. Who's causing the hard work? Who's leading the Egyptians? Pharaoh, why?
He
doesn't know Joseph. Who was Joseph? Anyway, this is a bonus.
Is he a seer? One of the
12 brothers. One of the brothers, yeah, who went down. Okay, hey, yeah, that's right. Very good. Yeah, Technicolor dream coat. Well done. Yeah, well done. Very good. I close my eyes. You guys watch that one. It's really good. Donny Osmond, you had a crush on him, I bet. You did, didn't you? You had a crush on Donny Osmond. I bet 100%. Own it. Come on, own it. Yeah, just a little. Just a little. Some of you guys have no idea. You have no idea. Okay, so we're in this context of slavery. Okay, the story continues. That and Bon Jovi, right? Donny Osmond. She had a poster of Donny Osmond and a poster of Bon Jovi. Rob Lowe?
He was right in the middle.
I didn't think he was that old. All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I'm never standing for that.
The story continues. You ready? The story continues. During those many days, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery. They cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. God heard their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Okay. Where did the Israelites belong? Where should they be? Okay. We call it Israel now, but that land, right? There's a land. Yeah, the promised land. Very good land, the promised land. Yeah. Where are they currently?
Slavery.
Yeah. And what are they doing? Slavery. Yeah. So what do? They cried to God. And God heard them. Yeah. God heard them. So, it's another example, isn't it, of a people caught in corruption and they cry out for deliverance. And what does a good, loving God do? He answers. It's what he does. It's what he does. The story continues. We ready? Ready? Yeah, all right. She says she's ready. Jazz, we ready? All right. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. He said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. The place in which you are standing, it's holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Someone tell me what happened in that scene. A burning bush. Good. Tell me something, one thing more about that story. Go ahead. Give me one thing. Good. Good. Perfect. No, no, that was good. We're going to get other people too. Someone else tell me something about that story. Jazz, what do you remember from that story? Give me one thing. A name, a place, an action. Come on, Haley, we'll get you. You think of anything? All right. Maybe she'll jog your memory. Go ahead. Yeah. Very good. He had to take his sandals off. Like, apparently, humans just can't walk into God's presence. Okay? Any more than you can just walk outside and look at the noonday sun and walk away fine. Apparently, there's something about God and humans that keep us apart. Okay? We are not able to step in. Good. What else do you remember? Who else? He hid his face. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness, I'm in a place where something bad might happen to me, right? Good. Remember anything? Mm-hmm. Jack?
He was questioning how the bush wasn't burned. He's,
all right, here's the bush that's on fire. It's still on fire. And he looks up 5 minutes later and it's still on fire, and maybe an hour later after potty break, that thing is still on fire. I guess that, and did you just, when God noticed that he started to walk close to it, what did God say? What's that? Yes. Well, what did God say? Do you remember? What's the first thing God said? Moses. Yeah. What did God notice? What did God notice? Why? Well, what is God about to do? Why is he going to do it? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Welcome to this story. Yeah. So Moses goes back, 10 plagues, right? How many remember some of the plagues? Go ahead. Give me a plague, one of the plagues. Spoils? Boils. There you go. Spoils. It's raining from heaven. Lots of spoils. Boils. What's that? Death of the firstborn. Nile, turn to. God speaks how many times? 10 times. 10 acts of decreation in parallel to 10 acts of creation in the beginning of Genesis. If you look at the creation story, God speaks 10 times to create everything. Okay? That parallels with what he decreates. He takes Egypt, which is the great geo-superpower of the world, and he brings it to its knees. Creation just falls apart. Takes it to a place of nothingness, of despair, of destruction. And he brings his people out And then the next time God speaks, he's going to speak 10 times. And guess what he's going to say? And who, what is he going to give them? He's going to give them the 10 commandments. Yeah. Yeah. The Passover, the killing of the lamb, the putting of the blood on the mantle. The people are set free. They go through the Red Sea. They come to the other side. This is the pivotal moment of their deliverance. Israel will look to the Exodus the same way you look to Calvary and the cross. Okay? So every Easter, you have a moment where you slow down. Let's focus on. So and Jews have the Passover, and they always look to that moment when they were set free. Okay? So they've gone through the Red Sea. They make it to the mountain. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Ready? The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. The Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish." Apparently there's a separation. "Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. For you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain, consecrate it.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go down, come up bringing Aaron with you. Do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and he told them." Why can't the people go up the mountain? What do you think, Ryan? Why can't the people go up the mountain? That's a good reason, right? Why do I have to wash the dishes? Because I said so. Yeah, that's good. No, it's true. But why? I mean, remember, so God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. He's not just arbitrarily throwing out words like, "Dude, this is like my man cave. I don't want you guys in my man cave." Okay. So, but why? Why does God say thoughts? Layla, why? Why doesn't God want them to come up the mountain? Layla, Linda, Layla.
Oh, Layla, Linda.
Why do you think God doesn't want them to come up the mountain? Any thoughts? Okay. What are you doing to these kids? You getting your God to go catch on fire? You like setting them on fire? God comes down with fire. Yeah. He's trying to impart to them there is this separation that needs to be respected and understood. That God is holy and perfect and other. And we need to understand and respect those boundaries. That if we're going to walk in a relationship with God, it has to happen a certain way. It's no different than a husband and a wife, okay? For a marriage to thrive, he has to respect certain boundaries. She has to respect certain boundaries so that the relationship can thrive. So they can walk in oneness. So that covenant is so important, so precious. It establishes a relationship, okay? God's doing that exact same thing right now. He's establishing a relationship. This is, and so we see God separating them from slavery, but he also has to now set them apart for himself. Okay? Okay? All right, so let's keep going. Get ready to turn your page. Question five. That was the story. We've kind of gotten up to this point in the story. What does it mean that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is your God? Thoughts. What does it mean that the Lord is your God? Yeah. I like that. Faith in God, good. What's that? Trust, awesome. Yep, Jack. No one's going to go before him. Governs? You guys are really good. These awesomes are answered. These answers are awesome. I mean, I'm not here for a week, and man, Adam just takes you guys deep dives, man. You guys are bringing it. Well done. Good stuff. Okay, ready? Here's your answer. It means I have faith that God is the only true God, and I trust myself to Him. Look, we got almost, you guys almost cranked that one out. Write that down. It means I have faith. The God of the Bible is the only true God, and I entrust myself to Him. Make sure you get all those pieces written down. Why do we write it down? Yeah. How's that working out? That's a great technique. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Let's look at some of these pieces. Okay, ready? Okay, it means I have faith. Having faith that God is the only. We're going to break this down in weeks to come. Only, not one among many, not like pole position, not first place in the race. Only one who delivers. He is the God who delivers. And I place myself in His hands. Ward, thanks, buddy. The beatbox is awesome. It was, I was afraid that everyone else was going to bust out in it too. So maybe if you could save that for after class and we can all beatbox together. Sound good? All right, dude. All right. I can trust Him because I know the story. And for some of us, you've experienced your own version of that story. Hey, I was in the slavery to this. I was enslaved to this. I was in bondage to this. I was entrapped by this. I was dead in this. And then He set me free. He set me free. Okay, the second giving of the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay, where was the first one at? Boom, nice. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay, they're going to get that right before they go into the promised land. I want you to notice something, how many times the Lord is referenced, okay? I want you to count it and see if we all come up with the same number, okay? Okay, I'm going to read it. It's a good chunk. It's a good chunk of scripture, okay? But count the number of times that the Lord name is mentioned, okay? You ready? Okay. Keep it to yourself. See what you come up with. And Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. And He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not have other gods before me. You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven or above, that's on the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You should not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of your livestock, the sojourner who's within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, should not commit adultery, should not steal, should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servants or female servants, his ox, his donkey, or anything that's your neighbor's. How many did you come up with? Wow, there's a lot there. That name comes up a lot inside those Ten Commandments. Okay? Here's part of the problem. In your English translations, instead of it listing the name of God, it just puts capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But when Moses is having a conversation on the mountain with God, he says, hey, they're going to want to know what God this is. Like, do you have a name? The name, who's they want to know who's going to deliver them, who's going to set them free. Remember what he says? What's the name? Do you remember the name?
What's the question?
What's God's name? Yahweh. Yep, Yahweh. Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Yahweh. It means I am that I am. There's a person doing the delivering. There's a person doing the saving. I'm going to read the story again, but this time I'm going to read it the way it was written without the transliteration of Lord. I'm going to put God's name in it, okay? Okay? So this is what it actually says in your Bible instead of L-O-R-D with Yahweh. Ready? And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and rules that I speak to your hearing today. You shall learn them and be careful to do them. Yahweh Elohim made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did Yahweh make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. Yahweh spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between Yahweh and you at that time, to declare to you the word of Yahweh. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. He said, I am Yahweh, Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's on the earth beneath, or the water under it. You should not bow down to them or serve them. For Yahweh, Elohim, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You should not take the name of Yahweh in vain, for Yahweh will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, as Yahweh Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh Elohim. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of your livestock, the sojourner who's within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. And you shall remember that you are a slave in Egypt, and Yahweh brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother, as Yahweh commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that Yahweh is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. What'd you notice when I read it that way? Elohim is the Hebrew word for God. So Yahweh. So he says, I am. So the Lord your God, okay, is Yahweh Elohim. Yeah. Yes, Christ. No, it's not. They didn't have last names back then. Their last names, his last name would have been Bar Joseph. Okay? You know what that means? Son of Joseph. Yep. Yep. What do you mean? Okay, yeah, we're in, it's a relationship with a person. Yeah, but I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Yeah, it comes out of relationship, doesn't it? I like that, Jack. Thank you. What else did you notice when we actually put the name in there?
It sounds better.
It sounds better? Okay. Personal. Yeah, we're talking about a person. It's a person. He says, I'm the one who delivers you. I'm the one who sets you free. I struggled on Friday. My wife and I were watching the news, and they had three representatives from different religions on the news talking about thankfulness. They had a rabbi, they had a priest, and they had an imam. It was like a pastor in the Muslim faith. Okay? What's that? It sounds like a joke. Sounds like a joke. Well, it was a joke. Okay? Because what they basically presented was that it's all pretty much the same, that they all believe in God, just a little bit, you know, different, because all they would ever use is the word God, okay, which is odd, because a Muslim wouldn't call God God, he would call God Allah, but that's not what he was coached to say. And a Christian who knows better shouldn't use the word God. You know why? His name's Yahweh. Or Father, right? Father. Now, God refers to a type. It means he's a spirit being. Okay? But he's so much more than that. It's not just God, Aiden. Thank you. He is the one who delivers. Israel will ultimately end up going back into slavery. Did you know that? Yeah, they will end up going back into slavery because they don't keep the commandments. They don't remember the story. They don't walk in obedience. They choose their own path. And when we choose our own path, what happens? Bad stuff. Bad stuff. They lose the land. The nation actually divides. There's a northern tribe and a lower one. The Assyrians come and take off Israel. The Babylonians are going to come over and take off Judah. We have to ask ourselves the same question. Are we going to trust Yahweh to be our deliverer? We have to choose our vocation. Do you want to be a slave or do you want to be an image bearer? Do you want to be in chains or do you want to walk in covenant love with Yahweh? The other gods, false, destructive. If you don't understand what they'll do to you and where they'll take you, just ask me. I'll tell you. I'll tell you where addiction will take you. I'll tell you where self-centeredness will take you. I'll tell you where pride will take you. I'll tell you where alcohol will take you. I'll tell you where sexual immorality will take you. I'll tell you where all those things will take you. All those gods will fail you every single time. And you'll feel more alone and you'll be more separated than you ever were. Yahweh is the only one who sets us free. Okay? Work through those questions. Be remembering those questions. Okay? When we get back together, not Sunday, because it's Thanksgiving weekend. Pray that you guys have an awesome Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, cool. If you're not traveling, cool. If you're making, baking, creating, awesome. If you're not, wash the dishes. Okay? What's that? If you're stuck at the kids' table, sorry, wait your turn. Wait your turn. When we get back, we'll start down the deep dive of you shall have no other gods before me. Remember, it starts with story. He invites you into a story. Some of you are stuck on a miserable story, and he wants to give you a better one. Why don't we stand and we'll ask God's blessing over you. Our Father, we come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit, and we say thank you. You are the God who sets us free. All other gods are false and phony and fake and are nothing compared to your graciousness and your love. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for breaking the chains of sin and death. Thank you for welcoming us into that relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Help us now as we move into a season of thanksgiving and Advent to behold and cherish your presence, your protection as we travel maybe to see family or welcome family in. May we be examples of thanksgiving for others. May your blessing rest upon my brothers and sisters here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.